Man's new album, At the Edge of Time, comes out. Well, it came out July 30th in Europe, comes out at the end of the month here in the U.S. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Well, yes, it has been a very pleasant production period, and there almost have been no delays. We didn't have any bigger problems. It's a very diverse album featuring, I would say, all the qualities of Blind Guardian, which we were able to gather over the last 25 years. Plus, it offers a great aspect for the future as well, since there are some new, modern, progressive elements, but all very closely connected to metal music in general. So I would guess everyone who has digged in Blind Guardian already will have a blast in listening to the album, but also people who, you know, did not get along with the band or did not have the chance so far to listen to the band and do have a sort of interest in metal will be pretty much attracted by the album. I think it's a bombastic album which delivers pretty much everything a metal band would expect from a metal band.
And what were your thoughts when you were recording this? What do you wanted to focus more when you were writing the album?
Well, there was not such a discussion this time. We just, you know, started songwriting immediately after finishing touring for Twist in the Myth and were forced to do one song quickly for a computer game called Sacred. And actually, the song Sacred Words, ending up on the album as the opening track, was the one we composed first after, you know, just finishing touring. So with that one in our back, we just let loose and were constantly working on songwriting, but did not really, you know, put any limits to our songwriting. So everything came out pretty naturally. We were just trying to, you know, things as interesting as possible. That changed a little bit when we, you know, finished songwriting and started the production, because then it was our producer Charlie Bauerfein who came up with productional concepts for the songs to deliver a more authentic and individual approach to each and every song. For instance, when we did A Voice in the Dark, it was him who mentioned how much that sounded like, you know, the Somewhere Far Beyond or Imaginations from the Other Side era. And then, of course, we tried to deliver that even more in terms of performance and arrangement as well.
And whenever you guys set up to write, how do you start thinking about ideas? You guys sit down, do you guys like have a piano, or how do you come up with the music?
Well, we do not have any patterns. That's probably one of the reasons why the songs in Blind Guardian differ so much and are pretty hard to reproduce in you know, trying to copy us as another band, or even for ourselves. It would be very difficult to come up with an album like Imaginations from the Other Side again. We basically sit there with nothing in hand and work at home. You know, Andre's, you know, torturing his guitar pretty severely, I would guess, and trying to come up with first pieces of arrangement. And I do the same whenever I get, you know, a riff or something. I make up my mind for possible melody lines and layers or harmonizations I could do, or orchestrations which could be added on it. And that's how we keep the ball rolling. You know, we exchange ideas from that point. Whenever there is this tiny little bit of a, you know, of a substantially good part, we try to create as much positive music out of it as possible, and that's how we go on. So after a while, we do have a sort of structure for a first third, and that's when we start a discussion about a possible first chorus. And it all comes out very spontaneous, and we have one major goal in general, and that's not to copy ourselves, and even if that would be impossible. But apart from, you know, having our regular instruments, we also try to involve other instruments. I do some work on the piano. You know, even though I'm not a piano player, I can put harmonies together or can come up with any sort of idea I have on it. and so does Andre, and he as well works a lot on the computer and, you know, works out stuff for orchestra like that, and we take it from there.
And how do you think that over the years this process has been getting easier, getting harder? What do you think?
For me, it definitely got far easier. While we were, you know, really chasing or fishing in the dark when we started, and, you know, it was, I won't say coincident, because it demands a lot of talent and perseverance to come up with anything. It was the lucky inspiration of other bands, which helped us before we did Battalions of Fear, of course, you know, but basically maybe that's what all the bands do in the beginning, you know, having a strong influence like Deep Purple, Iron Maiden, Halloween, whatever, and then you try to reproduce their style. But ever since we established our own style, and I would say that happened somewhere in between Follow the Blind and Tales from the Twilight World, it's been an effort and a difficult attempt to come up with something which you can really call your own invention. And for myself, I would say it gets easier with each album, because experience pays off then. While in the beginning it was the innocence and excitement which drove you forward, it's more the knowledge and the wisdom which is doing it nowadays. And I also think due to all the technical progression happened during the last 25 years, we're really talking about 25 years, it's easier to collect your stuff than it was back then. When we started working on Battalions of Fear, we were forced to record everything on a stereo cassette tape recorder. While ever since the very early 90s, the recording system, even for songwriting, improved a lot. And nowadays, you know, due to computer technology, it's no problem to work on as many tracks as you need to accomplish what you have in mind.
And do you think that, I mean, yeah, this makes the whole, like you mentioned, using a lot of tracks, you can do a lot of layering, dubbing, you can do a lot of stuff in the studio. Do you think that this makes the songs more complex when you're trying to play them live?
Well, not necessarily. You just have to find a way through afterwards. And sometimes there are songs which are more designed to be studio songs, album songs, and there are songs which still have that authentic live feeling. A song, for instance, like A Voice in the Dark, even though it does have some layers in the chorus and at other parts, and the same thing happening with the guitars, does have a clear structure, and I would say you easily can deliver a live version out of the material we have gathered for the studio recording, and then it doesn't make a big difference whether it has been composed in a rehearsal room or with a high-tech equipment like we sometimes use now, or mostly use nowadays. But yeah, you can go wrong, there's no doubt about that. Going back to A Night at the Opera, for example, there's a song called Precious Jerusalem, and we have added so much stuff to it, which makes it really difficult to come up with a decent live version. One fine day we will do so, but it's so time-consuming then. For us as a band, it's two different steps. We do songwriting to comfort the song, and the production will be done to comfort the song as well. And afterwards, that's the first time when we really consider how to transpose such a song into a live situation. And as mentioned, in many cases, it's no problem at all because it speaks a clear language. Sometimes the language is more like, you know, a foreign language, and then you have to work harder. And if it's a Chinese language, like in Precious Jerusalem, then it's very difficult.
And you personally, as a music fan, what would you prefer, hearing a band sound as close as from the studio, even though you know there's a lot of samples and stuff going on, or you prefer to see a band natural when you're seeing them live?
I always prefer a band to be matched to the song natural, And I also prefer bands, you know, having slightly little changes in the approach of the song. They do not have to change the structure, and it doesn't have to be freestyle, not even in the solo. That can be, you know, really designed as the musician wishes to perform it, but it has to be slightly different each night. There's nothing wrong with orchestral samples and even backing vocal samples, but, I like punk music, and you know, I've been a big Dead Kennedys fan, and you know, I've attended a lot of live shows, and the ones which did have the strongest impact on me were the ones with a good band able to deliver their music in a proper way and in an individual way. I consider music to be something individual, and the essential core of music will be delivered through live concerts. There's no doubt about that. Life means life, so it has to be lively, and I appreciate even mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. It usually makes the show more fun.
Definitely, yeah. You make a fool out of yourself sometimes, and you feel very bad, but it's better, you know, not to be too perfect. Of course, you need to have high expectations, and people paying for your appearance, they should get what they want, but you know, there are limits.
And I mean, the new album, At the Edge of Time, lyrically, you guys are all over the place this time. Can you tell us more about some of the stories and ideas that you use behind your songs?
Sure. I won't make that too long. They more or less all deal with the issue of time. That makes the album title quite suitable. And they're all facing a sort of consequent and very important era in their lives, which does have an impact on each of the stories. So the title At the Edge of Time definitely makes sense. It's also very nicely captured on the album cover, I think. Choosing some of the songs, I would go for Curse My Name first, because that's probably the most different one when it comes to the lyrical inspiration. It's been inspired by John Milton's The Tenure of Kings and Magistrates, which is a political writing by this old and very famous poet about the justification of death penalty for King Charles I, who has been, you know, severely torturing, you know, his nation. And it was a big discussion back then whether a king could be killed or not due to the crime he committed. And I, as a mid-European person, found that a ridiculous discussion, you know, to find justification for a death penalty, because in the modern world, and you know, everyone considers his time as modern, it's needless to do something like that. But you know, anyway, it was such a genius talking about that stuff that attracted me a lot. And another one coming into my mind would be Robert Jordan's the inspired song by Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time, Ride Into Obsession, and Wheel of Time dealing with essential parts of the story, while Ride Into Obsession introduces the two main protagonists of the whole series. Wheel of Time, it says, deals more with the ultimate power in that story, which the protagonist owns, and he's addicted by that.
And, I mean, do you think that you guys will do, like, in the future, maybe a bigger, more centered concept album like Nightfall and Middle Earth any other time? Or do you think that you're better off doing this? I mean, you have a central concept, but you're still basing your lyrics off different...
Right. This central concept is more like on Somewhere Far Beyond, so it's very loose, and it gives space for all songs to appear individual. And I really preferred that for this album as I did on A Night at the Opera or Twist in the Mist. But going back to the question, I really believe the music requires a concept for the whole album or not. And if it's as obvious as it has been with Nightfall and Middle Earth, I would do so again. I'm sure you have heard about the orchestral project we're working on.
Yeah.
This does have a very clear direction in terms of music and would be very suitable for another conceptual album, and especially a concept about Tolkien again. But I'll deal with it once we're there. Right at the moment, we're still working on the orchestration itself and on the recordings. Once this is accomplished, I have to come up with a lyrical concept, but I enjoy having the freedom at the moment to make up my mind for quite a longer time.
Since a few years ago, I mean, the band started releasing the albums every 4 years, so almost exactly. Does this have something to do with something you guys want to do, or is just mere coincidence?
Yeah, it is coincidence, but really caused by the simple fact that the songwriting itself demands such long time, you can say. We do have fairly long touring process nowadays, and afterwards we start songwriting immediately. But to finalize the core songs itself took us more than 12 to 18 months, and then it takes another 12 months to record and produce the album properly. So it's pretty much demanded by the songs again. I would love to release an album earlier, but ever since Nightfall, it was 4 years, and even in between Imaginations and Nightfall, and in between Somewhere Far Beyond and Imagination, it has been 3 years. So it's pretty much based on the songs. And if you see how much detailed and precise work is contained in each and every single part of the album, it might become more obvious to people then why it takes so long. It's nothing done on purpose, though it is really closely related to the Football World Championship as well, which happened all 4 years as well.
Yeah, that was my that was part of my lead up to the question. So
it's cool to be on tour when there is a world championship, or to be on promotional tour when there is a world championship, because then you can enjoy the games with other guys. But that's definitely coincidence.
And where do you see the band go in the future? I mean, you guys are fairly established. Like you said, I mean, you take your time to record, make sure everything is well in place. What else do you feel that you need to achieve with the band?
Well, it's pretty much based on the music again. As long as we can express ourselves with good new progressive music, we are happy with where we are at the moment. You know, as long as the basic songs will change, and even if we wouldn't sell any more albums, it wouldn't make a big difference. Even if we weren't selling albums at all, as long as we enjoy making music, we will keep on. That's probably the most important message. I believe that every band who has a vision, a musical vision, does have the ability to go on until they're literally dying, these people, you know. You don't have to stop playing music, you know, just because, you know, of age or so. So our goals would be to go on as long as possible in terms of, you know, having ideas. And, of course, it makes far more fun if people are listening to you, you know. But even if no one was listening, I pretty much think we would do music.
And do you think that whenever you're going to be like 60, you're still going to be able to run around the stage like you do now?
I don't do it nowadays. Well, you know, my great idol on stage is Ozzy Osbourne, and one fine day I'll be as fast or as slow as he is. But I don't see any problem with that, because metal music is energetic music, and I think our music somehow grew with us. So we will do music suitable for our age. Even, you know, okay, Voice in the Dark is still a very fast song, but we probably will do slightly different music when we're 60. I'm not sure about that, which makes it easier for us to perform it on stage. But yeah, I could see myself moving rapidly, slowly with 60 years.
And just kind of, to kind of close it off, do you guys have any touring plan, maybe hit the U.S. and promotion of this album?
Yes, we do have plans, and I'm almost sure that we are hitting U.S. grounds before the end of the year.
And what, how do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, it's an honor. It's a pleasure, but it's a very demanding thing again, because the expectations are really high. Even though we played USA and Canada twice already, you never know what to expect. You want to impress the people, and due to many things, it gets more and more difficult. But we have so many things in mind in terms of delivering a great stage production, even if we, you know, do not have the same environment in the U.S. which we would have in Europe. I'm pretty sure that we can attract people.
And just our closing question usually is, I mean, if you guys had like unlimited budget for a live performance, what do you think you will use to further enhance the musical experience the band brings?
Well, if it comes to designs, it certainly would be typical backdrop stuff, you know, without having any moving images or projections. And that would be the first change if there was not enough money. And in terms of music, I would rather play the bass again than instead of having a great bassist with me. Then people have to live with my skills as a bassist, but, you know, that's how we can save money.
Oh, no, but I meant the opposite. If you had unlimited, I mean,
oh,
you could
do sorry.
Whatever you wanted, yeah.
So I misunderstood. unlimited money. Oh, shit, another phone's ringing. I tried to get that out of the way. Just give me a second.
Yeah.
Hallo? Hallo? Hi, ich rufe gleich zurück, ich bin im Interview, ja? Okay, bis dann, tschüss. So. That's how professional I am. So, with unlimited money, I would definitely do constant touring in venues and try to maintain shows with orchestra and great choirs.
And, I mean, just the top of my head, I mean, since now a lot of the metal bands are finally charting the U.S., but a lot of people seem to be complaining about the whole future of the CD and the music industry. What are your thoughts on why do you think this is happening, that smaller bands are actually getting more notice now that there's less CDs being sold?
Is that the case? I did not even recognize that. For me, as a musician, as a professional musician, I can say that the whole scene, the music industry, still suffers. And from my point of view, not so much for established bands, but more for younger bands, it gets more and more difficult to not only sell albums, but also get the attention they may deserve, because people are not as enthusiastic about music in general as they have been in the 80s or even in the 90s. I believe that the big industry, the major companies, left burned ground. Now that they are vanishing and going bankrupt, we have to live with what they, you know, have created, and that's a wasteland. But music will survive, and I believe that a strong and vivid band will make it nonetheless, but as mentioned before, I still believe it's very difficult, no matter in which genre you are playing nowadays. On the other hand, since metal fans are more loyal than the regular mainstream fan is, metal bands are not suffering as severe as mainstreamish bands do suffer. Still, the attention of the majority of people is not so much focused on metal music, which is good because that means we can still do music and skill in a healthy environment, business environment. But on the other hand, many bands, again, even the established metal bands, like, let's say, Blind Guardian or Iced Earth, they would deserve far more attention from the wide media. But it's not the case. And so we have to live with, you know, with the reality. And I think whoever arranges himself with the status quo will be most successful.
That sounds exactly true. And just to sign off, is there anything you want to say to the people in the U.S. and North America that are listening to that, who will be listening to this interview?
Sure. First of all, enjoy our new album. It's worth listening to it. It will open your mind and will deliver new worlds. You can explore a lot. I'm anxious to come back to the USA in the end of the year and see you somewhere on the road.